10. Hebrews. Uh-oh, here we go again. All right, we'll try. If it goes, it goes. All right, baby. All right, guys. I think we're gone. Let's shut it down. All right. We never know. So Hebrews chapter 10. And then what we're going to do is read responsively, not responsibly, all right, responsively, all right, verses 1 through 12, verses 1 through 12. So I'll start verse 1, and then together we'll read 2 and just follow my lead on that, and then I'll do 3 and we'll go all the way through verse 12. We'll take our time. I think it's important as we come, especially to the communion table, that we think about it, and it's a great passage to think about this evening as we come to take the elements. So I'll start verse 1 and then together in verse 2. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Together, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Heavenly Father, I pray as we consider your sacrifice this evening, I pray that it would be solidified. Lord, what a great Savior we have, has offered a better sacrifice. I pray that it would make us appreciate the body and blood of our Savior more as we think of what he has done and what he has offered so that we can have so great salvation. Lord, as always, we ask you to do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. One man in the past said the following of Christ, I have taken much pains to know everything that was esteemed worth knowing among men. But with all my study and reading, nothing now remains with me to comfort me at the close of my life except St. Paul's message. It is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To this I cleave, and herein find rest. And I hope that it would be true for us as we consider this evening a better sacrifice. You know, through the course of a few messages now, we've been considering in the book of Hebrews how Christ is better. And I think you're seeing that the author presents a pretty good argument. A pretty good argument showing, and even in verse 1, it's saying, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. I was reading about a man that was in London, and he was trying to figure out different ways to get around London. And what they did is they made three or four different maps. And there was a map of the streets. There was a map of the transit system, kind of like the bus system, taxi routes. And then there was a lower map that showed the subways. And all of the maps were separate. And he said you could lay them over top of each other, but he said it was kind of confusing. And that's what we see in verse 1 in some regards, that the law is a shadow. You know, there are many things in the Old Testament or different words that we use when it comes to Christ and salvation. For instance, we'll say, hey, don't you know you're justified? Like, oh, yeah. Well, don't you know you're sanctified? Yeah, all right. Yeah, you know what? You need to experience regeneration. Okay. And there's all these different words. And then you go to the Old Testament. And actually, there was five offerings when it says that the law, they were supposed to do five different offerings. There was a burnt offering. I may not remember them all. There was a burnt offering, a sin offering, a trespass offering, a peace offering, and there was another offering. Okay. So there was five different offerings. But what's neat is Christ. So all of these offerings, burnt offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the peace offering. Here are all these different offerings that the children of Israel had to come and perform. And they had to do these things. And then you'd walk into the temple, and outside the temple in the courtyard area was a brazen altar. And then you'd go to a brazen laver, and then you'd walk into the a holy place, and inside there was furniture, and you'd look off to the side, and there was a table of showbread. You'd look on the other side, and there was a lampstand. You'd come near to the Holy of Holies, and there would be a golden altar. And then inside was the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant. And this is what's interesting. All of those were a shadow. Right? All of those were something that was looking ahead to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, when he came here on this earth, in one offering fulfilled everything. That's what's just amazing to me. All of those offerings, all of those things that were pictured, they were all fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So we may crab and complain about the Hebrews and say, you know what, I don't understand it. But for thousands of years, basically, they were following that system. So, you know, some of us, you just been doing it a couple of years and you still are messing up. All right, so give them a little bit of a break. All right, because for thousands of years, they were doing this and they were commanded to do it by God. And now God says, wait a minute, Christ is better. And that's what we see in Hebrews chapter 10. And this evening, I just want us quickly to consider four points that come out of this about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 12. But this man, well, we see it in verse 1. For the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things can never with those sacrifices, notice what it says, which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. Look at what verse 3 says. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. Then we go down in verse 6. In burnt offerings and sacrifices. You see that is plural. Burnt offerings and sacrifices. So Jesus in his sacrifice. Why is Jesus' sacrifice better? Because it's unrepeatable. What do we mean by that? The Old Testament priest, what does it say? Had to repeat sacrifices continually. You see the verbiage? Continually, year by year. It's over and over and over. But then it says, what does it say, in the passage here? It says in verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. What's the phrase? Once for all. It's unrepeatable. The Old Testament priests had to repeat this over and over and over and over, year after year. Then once a year, and that's what this is referencing in verse 1, once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest went in for himself. Then he came back out and he did another sacrifice and he brought that in for all the sins of the people. And they all kind of just sat there on pins and needles saying, hey, I wonder if it's going to be accepted. And then he came out and there they say in the Jewish history books, they say that a lot of people would be gathered outside on that Day of Atonement, just waiting literally on pins and needles, just kind of saying, hey, I wonder if it's going to be accepted. He'd come back out and there'd be cheering. Why? Because once again, this year, our sins are taken care of. But now in Jesus Christ, one time, once for all. Jesus made a sacrifice that never needed to be repeated. Notice what it says in verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. Remember last week when we were talking about the duties of the high priest and the idea of the high priest, that we said that one of the things about the priestly duties was that there was no furniture in the tabernacle that was a chair, except for the mercy seat, and the high priest was not going to sit on that. That was for God's presence. So there was nothing indicating that a priest's job was ever done. And we see this in the passage because it uses the word continually. Year after year, over and over. It was repeated over and over and over. But Jesus Christ, when he was done, and we heard that on the cross. Remember in the Greek, it's telestai or something like that. That's the word, it is finished. And one of the meanings behind that Greek word is that the payment was paid in full. It was stamped. It is finished. My debt's paid. That's what Jesus Christ did. And that's why, because the debt was paid with his blood, he can sit down. His job's done. It's finished. It's unrepeatable. Jesus' sacrifice is unrepeatable. Secondly, notice in the text, verse 3 and 4, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins. What? Every year. That's referencing that Day of Atonement. Verse 4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Notice down in verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering. Notice what it says there again. Oftentimes, the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. So why are you doing this? It was instructed. That's what they had to do. It was picturing something that was to come. So Jesus' sacrifice is unrepeatable, but Jesus' sacrifice is incomparable. The Old Testament sacrifices reminded the people of their sins. Did you notice in the text it's saying it's year by year and it's before them. It brings to remembrance there in verse 3. There's those sacrifices. There is a remembrance again made of sins every year. When they were coming to do that, they knew that this wasn't sufficient. I'm going to have to do this tomorrow. In fact, in the temple, every day, every morning, there was a lamb that had to be sacrificed. Every morning. That was a requirement. You know what it was telling them? It's not enough. Your sin is still not covered. You say, wow, that's kind of depressing. It is kind of depressing. But Jesus' sacrifice is incomparable. Why? Because Jesus' sacrifice removes sin from the people. In one sacrifice, Christ's sacrifice removes sin's guilt, it removes sin's power, and ultimately, in the future, it's going to remove sin's presence. That is the power of Christ's sacrifice. Notice in our text also, not only is Jesus' sacrifice unrepeatable, it's incomparable, but it's invaluable. Now, what do we mean by invaluable? Well, in the text it says, but in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. We go down to verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down in the right hand of God. The Old Testament sacrifice cost the lives of animals. Countless numbers of lambs were slain in the old sacrificial system. But look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Jesus' sacrifice was the ultimate cost. Notice what it says in verse 18 of 1 Peter chapter 1. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But notice what it says. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. We sing that, oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. Francis Havergal saw a picture one time of Christ crucified, and underneath the picture, it said, I did this for thee. What hast thou done for me? And she wrote a poem on a piece of paper, and she was dissatisfied with that. And so she went to throw it away, and her dad said, you know what, why don't you take it and publish it? And she published the song that we sing, I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom be and quickened from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? What do we see about Jesus Christ and his sacrifice? It's unrepeatable. We see that his sacrifice is incomparable. We see that his sacrifice is invaluable. What does that mean? It means that there's nothing else that can compare to it. Nothing at all. Your salvation, it is priceless. It literally is. It's priceless. That's why the blood of bulls and of goats is saying they never could take away sins. And yet, over the course of probably about 1,000 years, can you imagine how many bulls and goats and lambs and turtle doves and all those different things, how many of those things were sacrificed? I would say it would be thousands upon thousands. When you read and study the tabernacle and the temple, what you find is that it would have been a very bloody, bloody place. But none of that is in comparison to Christ's blood on the cross. It's precious. And that's why the blood of Christ, that's why as we come to the communion table and we partake of the elements, one of them is the body, but one of them represents the blood. Why? Because it even says it. It doesn't say it here, but without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. It says that in Hebrews chapter 9. It is very important then that we understand Christ's better sacrifice. But then notice in verse 14. Okay, we read down to the verse 12. And then we read 13, from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Notice verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. What do we know about this sacrifice? Why is it better? Because it's unrepeatable. It's incomparable. It's invaluable. And it's capable. What do we mean by that? The Old Testament sacrifices were intended to help people see holiness, I believe. I believe it was. Remember the high priest on his, if you don't know this, but the high priest on his brow, he had all kinds of garment, all kinds of different aspects of his garments. But one of the things, there was a mitre that was upon his forehead, and on the forehead was stenciled, holiness to the Lord. It was a reminder. It was a reminder as the priest went about his business that he was holy, he was sanctified unto the Lord. He was set apart. And all of the offerings were there. When they dedicated the priest, they would take blood and they would dip the right finger and sometimes the right toe. They would dip that in blood. There was a sanctification process. When they had the tabernacle furniture finished, they dedicated those by blood. It was sanctified. It was set apart. But Jesus says, look at verse 14. It says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified.
And those of us that accept Jesus Christ and we have accepted his gift and his offering, the Bible says, ye are sanctified. You're set apart. We are God's now. And why is that? Why can that happen? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from some sin. No, from all sin. It's capable. That's why the rituals, you know, and you think of religion today and you think of different things that go on in religion today. And so many people want a better life and they're trying different things and they try all kinds of different things. And it's so sad because the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse them. It's capable. But it's so sad that they don't know. But we know this evening. We know that the blood of Jesus Christ can sanctify us, and it can sanctify us for a little bit. No, notice what it says. It says in there, he hath perfected forever. Once again, as we touched on it this morning, there is no doubt that the Bible teaches eternal security. It's forever. And the blood, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, makes it possible for your salvation to be eternal. And it also allows us to be perfected forever. So grateful for the sacrifice of Christ. And maybe here tonight, you are relying on some of your own works. Maybe your goodness to your parents. Maybe your academic excellence. Maybe your ministry to the church. And you are resting on those things to get you to heaven. Jesus, his sacrifice is what it takes to get to heaven. And what do we find out about that sacrifice? It's unrepeatable. He did it one time and it was enough. It doesn't have to be done again. He did it once for all. It's incomparable. And what does it mean? Man, over and over, yearly and continually, the remembrance of those sins as they came and they sacrificed those, the blood of the lambs and the bulls and the goats, right there was a reminder to them that, you know what, we're still sinners. This isn't good enough. Next year they're gonna have to do the same thing. But not Jesus Christ. Again, once for all. Jesus' sacrifice is invaluable. There's nothing in comparison to it. And it is capable. It can perfect you forever. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I read a story that was interesting. It was in the Rockefeller Report many, many, many years ago. And there was a West African man named Asebe. I might not be saying his name right, but that's the way I read it. Asebe was a West African man. And what happened to this West African man was that he contracted yellow fever. So he got yellow fever in his system. But what was unusual is that he contracted yellow fever, but miraculously he recovered without anything on his own. So when there was a group of medical scientists and doctors that were over there, and they heard about this man, Asebe, and that he had gotten yellow fever, and yet miraculously he was not killed by it, but he developed an antibody. Antibody that fought against it. So this made the antibodies in his blood precious to those who were seeking a cure for yellow fever. Asebe, they contacted Asebe, and Asebe allowed his blood to be taken for a life-giving purpose. In 1937, the yellow fever vaccine was first manufactured. And it was taken from Asebe's blood because he had developed a unique immunity and antibodies that would fight off
yellow fever. The original strain of the virus obtained from that humble man, guess what? Has gone. That's where it started. From this one man, Asebe. Back in 1937, he allowed his blood to be taken because he had this special antibodies that fought yellow fever. And they say, more than likely, from that blood, that has been passed down and it's been saving millions of people for generations, decades. Decades from one man's blood, people have been saved from that disease of yellow fever. Oh, you know the application, don't you? There was one man's blood. Perfect. Pure. Precious. It was the precious blood of Christ. And from His blood flows salvation. And salvation freely offered to us. And those of us that have partaken of that salvation, as we come to the elements tonight, it should make us joyful. It should make us say, wow, what a Savior. What a Savior we have. What an amazing Christ we have. Oh, He is so much better. Heads bowed, eyes closed.